A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. So today the church remembers the dramatic event of the Holy Family's flight into exile and return to the homeland of Israel. We remember the martyrs, the holy innocents, of which, thankfully for all of us, for all of creation, the one holy innocent that was spared was the one that ultimately and universally mattered. These beginning chapters of Matthew are remarkable for the amount of essential discourse that is taking place in and amidst the dream world, the world of the unconscious. To say this level of communication is essential is underemphasizing it just a bit, for we cannot imagine how incarnated salvation history would have unfolded if the Holy Family had not received the message to flee. As if virgin birth isn't extraordinary enough, we have this ongoing communication which is continually being taken with utmost seriousness. For us contemporaries, baptized in modern and postmodern intellectual currents, how do we read this narrative? As part of the faithful, we are obviously grateful for those, whether they are the astrologer kings or Joseph himself, who truly did not see with physical eyes, but yet believed. But do we still trust that God can come, indeed does come, in all forms, including within that ethereal realm of the unconscious? The people of antiquity certainly put much greater stock in this realm. Many who were held in great regard helped divine the many and varied aspects of the future. We have interesting lineage here in terms of Joseph's namesake, the 11th son of Jacob, also being a dreamer and dream interpreter. And we celebrate during this Christmas season and in these first chapters of Matthew, this very continuity stretching back to Abraham, the progenitor of Israel, now restored in Jesus. Look at the lineage of Jesus expressed in Matthew 1. And image it with respect to Carl Jung's explanation of the dream world being part of the collective unconscious. With a Jungian lens, we can see that the collective unconscious of a fully realized Israel moves all the way from Abraham and becomes conscious in Jesus. In a complementary way, the messengers of God that treat with Joseph and the astrologers can also be seen as an expression of the consciousness of the body of Christ, of creation, before it was realized and semanticized to be the body of Christ by Paul and later contemplatives. If we are to believe the prologue of John, we of course must believe that the Word always was. What we read in this Matthean passage and in the immediate passages before and after is a dynamic expression of that word, both in eternal form, with the promise of God through the angelic messages and the recalling of the prophets Hosea and Jeremiah, and in temporal form, with the vulnerable and endangered child, both happen simultaneously. As is the case right from the beginning of Jesus' birth, the mystical body is being actuated before it is being understood. The Word of God is powerfully at work, guiding events and witnessing to God's true power amidst the power-hungry and the fearful. As much of a miracle and yet an expression of the Word being realized in the mystical collective unconscious is the faithful action of Joseph to keep safe the Holy Family and immediately, if incomprehensibly, contribute to the unfolding of universal salvation. Where we stand today in our human development, the intersection between the faith of our ancestors in the mystical and our modern understanding of the psyche can reap compelling fruit. Perhaps we should take our dreams more seriously, especially the ones that cause us to wake to new levels of insight, creativity, and depth. The dream of God that is Jesus was powerful enough to heal and save all of the rest of God's dream. Let us pray that the collective unconscious reality that is the kingdom of God already animating our hearts be brought to consciousness with consistency and ever greater intentionality. Let's all be brought by grace to the point in which we can truly say that we are living the dream.